Okay, so we just got done with Christmas. I'm like, thank God, you know, because it's just so busy and there's so much to do. And I'm just enjoying the quiet after the storm, kind of. I mean, I know that we're celebrating Jesus, but we celebrate Jesus every day, you know. And so I'm enjoying that time, and it's been a time of reflection, and I'm sure for some of you, too, that you've been kind of evaluating the last year and looking forward to this next year and wondering what God has for us. And, you know, I just felt like there was something, when we were here on New Year's Eve, like there's just something really more significant than usual as we crossed over from 2019 to 2020. And that it's an important transition for us. And I just see it like we're crossing a bridge, but we're crossing a bridge almost into a new land, into a new place where everything is going to look different. And there's going to be such an unfolding of revelation for each one of us, actually. Maybe not for each one of us. Maybe for the ones who have ears to hear. So do you have ears to hear would be my first question. And I pray that you do. And if you don't, that God would just give you right now just ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. I've heard a few people, you know, giving words for 2020, great words. And that's amazing. But I have to share with you the one word that I have been hearing for weeks, and maybe some of you were around, like it was about, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago, when I was running around the worship team and running around after we'd been in the prayer room, and I was saying, I have a word for you, I have a word for you. And they, of course, they perk up, you know, and I said, Jesus. Jesus, remember? I said, Jesus. Jesus. That's my word for 2020. Jesus. I've heard the word about 2020 vision. I want to see Jesus. I want to see him high and lifted up. I want to see the train of his robe filling this temple. Yeah. I want to see him as great. I want the greatest thing in my life to be loving him. I've heard a word about the roaring 20s, which was amazing when you said that last week, because God had spoken it to me on the way to church that morning. And you know, but I got to thinking about it, and I thought, well, who is that roaring one? That roaring one is the Lion of Judah. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. So all these words that I've heard can be encapsulated in one word, in one name, actually, because it's a person, not just a word. It's a person. It's the person of Jesus. And he wants us to know him this year. There's great increase coming to the body of Christ this year. Our faith, which he gave us that seed of faith in the first place. It's from him, right? But our faith is increasing, and it's going to increase by leaps and bounds this year if we listen. You know, we often talk about the Father's heart and everything. We don't have the Father's heart. We can't access the heart of the Father for us apart from Jesus. Because he's the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by him. It's Jesus. Jesus is the name above every other name. My word last year was, for 2019, was that God was looking for those who respond to him, who not only hear his voice, but obey. And we were reminded that we have a choice to make between life and death, and that God was saying, oh, that you would choose life. We're so foolish when we don't. When we choose the bad things, when we choose the immediate gratification type stuff. And he's like, oh, that you would choose life, that you and your descendants will live. The way that you live today is going to affect the future generations. Every little decision for life that you make along the way is important, it's vital, and it will affect the future generations. And we have that choice between life and death, and blessing and cursing, between criticism and encouragement, between judgment or grace. But we choose life. And that life was the light of man. That life is Jesus. He's the source of our life. We have our life in him, right? It's in him that we live and we move and we have our being. And, you know, I think we all made some strides last year. I really do, you know, that we're just, I think there's more of a tenacity in us to press into the word and to hear and obey. You know, we did a study on... it's the brain one. Switching on your brain, and we learned the importance of the Word of God and taking every wicked thought and every lie, taking it captive to the obedience of Christ, and we got some fight in us, and we started standing up against, you know, the stupid enemy who just wants to tell you you're no good. And then we began, the ladies have anyway begun a study on the book of John. And the book of John is written that, and John says this, I think it's in 16, John 16, but he said these things are written that you may believe. Whoa. And in believing that you may have eternal life. So he wants us to believe, and he's given us the book of John to help us. So here, and we all, the three of us leaders, you know, we all just felt impressed that we need to really, like, focus in on the book of John, and we're beginning, let's see. We want to know Jesus. How well do we know Jesus? Like, if somebody came up to you and said, who is Jesus? You know, well, you could probably give them a list of the titles of Jesus. Son of God, Son of Man, you know, the Shepherd. You know, you could probably give them titles. But do you know him? You know, like, I know there are people in my life that I know. You know, I know that they're a dad. I know how many kids they have. I know where they go to work and everything. But I don't really know how they tick, you know, because we haven't invested the time with each other to really come to know them. And I feel like God is calling us into, you know, of course, intimacy with him, but just it's just a matter of knowing him. And he wants to be known by us, and he's introduced himself to us in the book of John. We want to, you know, how can we introduce people to Jesus if we're not, like, if we don't know him, if we don't, we can spout off our Bible knowledge, but do we know him? Huh. He is so real He wants us to apprehend the reality of His personhood and His presence in our lives today. He's not dead. He's risen. He's alive. And if you've put your faith and trust in Jesus, He's alive in you. And He's there and He wants to fellowship with you. He wants to go wherever you go. He wants to be where you are. You know, and we want to be where you are, Jesus. We want you. We don't just want you for the things that you do. We want you because you're beautiful. Because you're wonderful. Because you're our Savior. Because you've redeemed our lives from the pit. And we can, in the mess of this world, we have something, someone to gaze at. And we can gaze at beauty. We can gaze at your beauty. So very thankful, Lord, and so excited about this opportunity, Lord, that you've given us to know you more. We can know Jesus through the Bible. But this is what he was telling me this week. He reminded me, you know, that Jesus asked an important question, probably the most important question he could ask anybody, and he asks us too, and that question is, who do you say that I am? Well, he then reminded me that maybe, you know what, maybe we all have different answers to that. I don't know. Maybe we know the right answer and we just say it because we know it's the right answer. Do we know it in our knower? Do we know it in our guts? Do we have fellowship with Jesus, with that person inside? Well, he was saying, maybe, you know, you should look at me and ask, you know, maybe we should look at Jesus and ask, who do you say that you are? And guess what? He's answered that question. In the book of John, he's answered it in the seven I am statements. He's told us who he is. And he's telling us this because why was John written? That we might believe. And he wants us to interact with him in all of who he is. He wants us to behold him, because as we behold him, we become more like him, and then we will reflect him. So I say, let's discover Jesus again. As we go through this, you know, sermon series, it's way more than a sermon series for those who have ears to hear. Amen. And hearts, yes, to receive. You can give yourself to this journey. So as we go through the I am statements, let's listen and let's interact with him that we may be believing believers, that we may be full of Jesus. So my portion is on the living bread, the bread of life. Guess who that is? It's Jesus. Everything, it all comes back to Jesus. There's nothing without Jesus. He's the center. He's at the core of it all. So what does it mean? I'm the living bread. Okay, well, let's maybe back up a little bit, and I think I'm actually going to read the scripture, but this story, when he calls himself the living bread, is on the heels of the multiplication of the 5 barley loaves and the 2 fishes to more than 5,000 people. And then there's a story in between. You can go back and read it yourself, but he crosses the lake I think it's the Sea of Galilee. But he crosses the lake to the other side, and so the people left behind, the 5,000 people, you know, they wondered where he was the next day. They'd had their fill of food, and now they're looking to the one who gave them that food. So let's just read that story real quick. And don't tune out, because this right here is the living Word of God. I know, because I've been there and I've done it, tuned out. So, okay, so the people, they got in their boats when they realized that he was gone, and they crossed over the lake also to the other side, and they found Jesus. And they said, "Teacher, how did you get here?" And Jesus replied, "Let me make this very clear. You came looking for me because I fed you by a miracle, not because you believe in me." In other words, you came because of what you could get, not for me, because you believe in me. Why would you strive for food that is perishable and not be passionate to seek the food of eternal life, which never spoils? I, the Son of Man, am ready to give you what matters most. What matters most? Jesus. He's going to give us what matters most. We're nothing without Jesus. We have no salvation. We have no way to heaven. We have no fellowship through the Holy Spirit. You know, we have no walk with God without Jesus. We're separated. So, okay, I, the Son of Man, am ready to give you what matters most. For God the Father has destined me for this purpose. They replied, "So what should we do if we want to do God's work?" Jesus answered, "The work you can do starts with believing. It's not about all the things that you do. It's about faith. It's about believing in him, the one he has sent." Well, they replied, "Show us a miracle so we can see it, and then we'll believe in you." Moses took care of our ancestors who were fed by the miracle of manna every day in the desert, just like the scripture says. He fed them with bread from heaven. What sign will you perform for us? See, they're after some more food. "The truth is," Jesus said, "Moses did not give you the bread from heaven. And it is my Father who offers bread that comes as a dramatic sign from heaven. The bread of God is the one who came out of heaven to give his life to feed the world. He is the bread of heaven, the bread of God." "Then please, sir, give us this bread every day," they replied. And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Come every day to me, and you will never be hungry. Believe in me, and you will never be thirsty. Yet I've told you that even though you've seen me, you still don't believe me. But everyone my Father has given to me, they will come. And all who come to me, I will embrace and will never turn them away." All who come to me. That reminds me of a verse, I think it's in John chapter 5. Where it says, "You diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you have eternal life. But these are that which testify of me." Who do they testify of? Jesus. They testify of me. "And yet you fail to come to me." So it's possible you know, to be very knowledgeable about the scriptures and yet fail to come to Jesus. Oh Lord, I don't want to be one of those. You know, show us, Jesus, how to come to you every day for our daily bread, because you are the bread. And all who come to me, I will embrace, and I'll never turn them away. And I have come out of heaven, not for my own desires, but for the satisfaction of my Father who sent me. My Father who sent me has determined that I will not lose even one of those he has given to me, and I will raise them up on the last day. For the longing of my Father is that everyone who embraces the Son and believes in him will experience eternal life, and I will raise them up in the last day. I just was reminded, because I was, you know, reading, studying a little bit about the bread of heaven, I remembered that old hymn, you know, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more, feed me till I want no more. You know, and I was just receiving from that. I looked it up on YouTube, and the first video I came to was the Catholic Church. And it was Holy Trinity Catholic Church, Sutton Coldfield, which is the town that I grew up in. And the church, because I went to a Catholic school, and the church that, and it's just down the road. We used to walk down the road to Holy Trinity Church. So I'm looking into this church that I was in as a little girl, you know, not beyond the age of 10 or 11. So I was under 10 or 11, and I wasn't a Catholic, so I was like banished to the kind of the balcony in the back. And so I could see, you know, but I couldn't participate because I wasn't a Catholic and everything. But I'm seeing, it was Songs of Praise, which is a TV show in England every Sunday, and they go to different churches. There was so much life in that church, and there's so much joy on the faces of the people, and it just ministered to me so much. And they were singing, and I will raise you up, and I will raise you up, and I will raise you up on the last day. And it was just, I listened to it about 3 or 4 times, because it just moved me to see and to be able to sing with them and to share in that hope that is Jesus. And anyway, just coincidence, right?
Right.
Right. Yeah. So, no. Glory, glory be to you, Jesus. My steps are ordered by you. That was no mistake. Okay, now I gotta find out where that was. Yeah. For the longing of my Father is that everyone who embraces the Son and believes in him will experience eternal life, and I will raise them up in the last day. When the Jews who were hostile to Jesus heard him say, I am the bread that came down from heaven, they immediately began to complain. How can he say that about himself? We know him, and we know his parents. How dare he say, I've come down from heaven? Jesus responded, stop your grumbling. The only way people come to me is by the Father who sent me. He pulls on their hearts to embrace me. And those who are drawn to me, I will certainly raise them up in the last day. I mean, can you just feel, you know, can you feel the Father just pulling us into him and pulling calling us towards Him, that we might embrace Him. I can feel it. I've been feeling it for a while. It's been hard for me to even make it through worship the last few weeks. I just feel like I'm getting caught up more and more. It's just been amazing. And I'm hungry for the presence of God, and I experience it. I'm experiencing it in my house just as much as I am here. So He doesn't live here. When I go out through the door, He comes right with me. Yeah. So Jesus continued, "It has been written by the prophets, they will all be taught by God Himself." If you are really listening to the Father and learning directly from Him, you will come to me. For I am the only one who has come from the Father's side, and I have seen the Father. And of course, Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. He shows the Father to us. So if you want to know the Father, you get to know Jesus. You know the Father because you know Him. I speak to you the living truth. Unite your heart to me. He's looking for oneness. And He's made the way. So we just have to unite our hearts to Him. And notice our hearts. Unite your heart. Doesn't say unite your mind to me. He's interested in your heart. And let me tell you from experience that if your heart is closed off, He knows how to pour out the oil and just undo you. And He knows how to heal your heart. I know this. So unite your heart to me and believe, there it is again, and you will experience eternal life. I am the true bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the desert and they died. Yeah, He provided for them while they were in the desert, but they still died, right? It was earthly food. I mean, it was earthly food. It was provision from God, and it was a gift. But it was earthly food, they still died, you know. And it went bad, too, after one day, remember? But standing here before you is the true bread that comes out of heaven. And when you eat this bread, you will never die. That manna from heaven was just a shadow. It was just a foreshadowing. It was just a picture of the one who did come down from heaven to bring us bread for every day of our lives. I alone am this living bread that has come to you from heaven. Eat this bread and you will live forever. The living bread I give you is my body. Which I will offer as a sacrifice so that all may live. My sin deserved death. And I have not reaped death. The wages of sin is death. I deserved death. But He made a way. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So when I deserve death, what's he given me? He's given me life. He's given me life eternal. He's given me healing. He's given me hope. He's given me joy. In the midst of oftentimes some very painful circumstances in my life. But I'm not alone. He's been with me. And he will be with me. He's the author and the finisher of my faith. These words of Jesus sparked an angry outburst among the Jews. They protested, saying, "Does this man expect us to eat his body?" Jesus replied to them, "Listen to this eternal truth. Unless you eat the body of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will not have eternal life. Eternal life comes to the one who eats my body and drinks my blood, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my body is real food, for your spirit is spiritual food." This is spiritual bread. Bread is in every culture, I think, some form of bread. So we can all relate to it, whether or not we eat bread, you know, or not. It's like sustenance, you know. But everybody can relate. So here we go. "The Father of life sent me, and he is my life. In the same way, the one who feeds upon me, I will become his life." It's like, you think about it, what you eat, you know, you become what you eat, kind of like it affects your body, it affects the way that your body works. You know, that's why we try to be careful with the things that we eat. We don't want to eat something that's damaging to us. So imagine if we're eating the bread of life, what a benefit that will be to us, and in that he will become our life. And then he'll give us bread to give to other people, because we know the bread of life. We've received the bread of life, and we say, hey, there's something much better than this food that we crave. Christmas food. I was craving fruitcake. Because Christmas cake in England is a fruitcake. And it's not quite the same as the English Christmas cake. So I went and bought myself a fruitcake. And I had one piece, and they're small, you know. I had one piece, and oh gosh, it was so good. It was so sweet. It was so good. But I said, oh, I'll just have another piece. So I had another piece. And see, the problem is right now is my husband's not home. He'll be home on Friday. But there's only me eating on this cake. Can't give cake to the dogs. So, you know, so I was craving it. And, you know, I got so full of it, I was sick of it, you know, one night. And I got up the next morning, guess what? I was hungry again. I thought, oh, a piece of cake would be great, you know. And it's like, I love this cake. But this cake, obviously, is not satisfying me, because the more I eat of it, the more I want of it. And so, you know, so I just thought about, you know, how I was craving that cake. You know, how am I craving that cake more? You know, am I craving earthly food, things that I think can satisfy me in this life? Am I craving that more than I'm craving the living bread, than I'm craving Jesus? The honest answer is probably yes. But the passion of my heart is to have him in that place of first priority. I want him to be my first love. What foolishness to love cake or love whatever it is in your life that you love and spend all your time on more than Jesus. It's foolishness. Yeah, so, you know, he wants to give us this bread. He wants us to be satisfied. And he wants us, obviously, he wants us to live forever. And of course, like we heard in, you know, some of the words before, he's looking, this is our bridegroom. Guess who the bridegroom is that we were talking about? Jesus. Here it is. It's Jesus. He's our bridegroom. He's looking for a bride that knows him, that is passionate for him, that shares their life with him. You know, and that I want to be that. I'm going to be that. I am that. That's who he's made me to be. That's who he's made you to be. You know, he's made all of us to be that bride, but he's looking for, I think, a return to first love. And Stacy mentioned that last week, and, you know, you think about the verse in Revelation where says, I think it's to the church of Laodicea, and it says, I have one thing against you, that you've forsaken your first love. I think Jesus wants to awaken that first love. You know, how was it when you first got saved? Oh, I loved Jesus. It was amazing. It was just like stepping into a new world. And it was awesome. But I think over the years, you know, I mean, of course, it's up and down and everything. But, you know, oftentimes we get so familiar with being a Christian and, you know, even spirit-filled Christians, and, you know, we get so familiar that we're using the language, you know, passion for Jesus, and we're using the language, but we're not living the reality. And it's like, oh Lord, I don't want to just be a parrot that just repeats like Christianese, speaks Christian. Oh yeah, I know the language. I can fit in, you know, with a bunch of Christians. And no, I want to know, you know, not just the words that describe you. I want to know you intimately. I want to know the Word. That's part of it, is knowing the Word of God. But remember that the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Who is that? It's Jesus. He's the Word that became flesh, and he lives amongst us. And we're just going to see him more and more as we go through these I am statements, because it's important. This is what he says, I am. Can you believe that? We can believe that. We can believe it when Jesus says it, right? So, I was just going to share a couple of these footnotes here. This is in the Passion Translation. It says, concerning, you know, eating his flesh and drinking his blood. To eat his flesh is to take into our lives by faith all that Jesus did for us by giving his body for us. To drink his blood is to take by faith all that the blood of Jesus has purchased for us. This eating and drinking is receiving the life, power, and virtue of all that Jesus is to replace all that we were in Adam. Jesus' blood and body is the tree of life, which is offered to everyone who follows him. And, you know, this chapter, I'm not going to read it, but it goes on to describe how the many, many people of those 5,000, they got so offended because he was talking about drinking blood and eating the body, and they thought, you know, I mean, early Christians got accused of, what do you call it?
Cannibalism.
Yeah, didn't know that. But Jesus knows that these words were offending to the religious Jews. To eat flesh that was not kosher was a violation of the law. How much more to eat human flesh? Drinking blood of any kind was also forbidden. So, you know, I was thinking about this because I know, you know, I went to Catholic school and they believe in, transubstantiation? Yeah, they actually believe that the juice and the bread actually become the body and the blood of Jesus. I don't believe that, but on the other hand, Jesus didn't say, you know, when they did the Passover meal and communion was, you know, the first mention of communion, don't lose your train of thought. Okay. Choo-choo, it's coming back, it's coming right back. But Jesus said, this is my body broken for you, and this is my blood. He didn't say this represents it. So I think that for sure that he wants us to consider it as if it was. That it's a serious thing, but a beautiful thing. It's part, you know, sharing in the fellowship with Christ. And it's a picture that, and I feel like it helps us to help us to walk in oneness with him, because as we receive the bread of heaven, which is Jesus, into ourselves, and we receive, you know, the blood of Jesus shed, you know, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. That as we receive that, you know, it's going to help us see ourselves in Christ, to see Christ in us and us in him who's in the Father, you know, to see, to experience that oneness. So I've been impressed personally that this is something I need to do more often. Maybe we need to do it more often than we do, but I actually went and bought the elements, and I have them at home, and once so far I've actually just taken communion by myself and just talked to the Lord and just received the bread and just appreciate and just remember what he did for me, to come back to that truth. And I think for sure during the fast, this is something I'm gonna do. You know, and God's gonna lead each one of us in this fast, you know, individually. Let's see. Okay. I'm completely off my notes. We were talking. I've got 4 pages of notes here. And I haven't even gone down half a page of them, but I've said a lot of the stuff that was in there. So, anyway, let me just see what's at the end here. Well, we're going to take communion, which is a beautiful thing. It just landed, this first message just landed on our communion Sunday. So we're going to take communion together. Usually we have the little wafers. I chose to bring a loaf which has been broken because it reminds us of the body of Christ that was broken for us. It was very costly, for it was very violent. It was very awful, you know, when Jesus shed his blood for us, and his body was actually broken, you know, for us. And so that's why, if you're wondering, that's why I chose to have a loaf of bread, because just so you can think about, you know, his body broken for you. Maybe we could have a couple of the worship leaders. Where's Reagan? Oh, she's in the nursery? Okay, well, maybe we could have you guys and Kayla, maybe. And just come up and play something instrumentally worshipful. Yeah. Yeah, because just like the Israelites, the children of Israel, when the manna came down, there wasn't one guy that collected it and distributed it. Each person had to come out, or each family had to come out, and they had to get their own daily bread each day. And it wouldn't last till the next day. So they had needed fresh bread every day. So that's why I want it instrumental, because I want this to be a time when we individually connect with Jesus, and where we just talk to him and just appreciate who he is and what he's done for us. And where we just step into his presence and just experience him in this fellowship meal that he's chosen to share with us. And so what I'm going to ask you to do is just, you know, kind of let there just be a flow, but just go up and get the elements, the grape juice, a piece of the bread, and then find your way back to your seat. And just, this is just time for you and the Lord, and then we'll partake together. Anybody who is a believer in Jesus is welcome, or wants to be, is welcome to participate. You don't have to be a member or anything like that. Just feel free, and if you don't, that's fine too. Thank you. as we prepare our hearts to participate in communion. Let's start out just by individually just giving him thanks. Jesus was in the habit of giving thanks. He gave thanks for the provision of the barley loaves and the fish before it multiplied. He gave thanks for the bread. Thanksgiving is the language of faith. You can't thank him for something you don't believe he gave you. And every good and perfect gift has come from him. Thank you, Jesus. You're so good. You're so beautiful. Thank you. We love your presence. Where would we be without you? Give you first place. We yield ourselves to you, Lord. We yield our hearts to you. We yield our lives to you. We love you, Jesus. You're the best. That was my sticker I stuck on your head. You're the best. You're the best. You're the name above every other name. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. This journey that you have us on. Thank you that we're not alone, that we can do this together and encourage each other. We can spur one another on to love and good deeds. Kingdom of heaven come, and will of God be done in each one of us. Over these next few weeks, we yield ourselves to you. Open our eyes, Lord, to see you. Give us that 2020 vision that we are people who see you, who hear you, who know you. Thank you for this time. We love you, Jesus. I just bless you all to go and have a great week. And maybe even the nice thing is we know what's going to be next, because after the bread, what's it, after the living bread, it's, what's the next I am? I am the light of the world. So you've got time this week to just look at those scriptures about I am the light of the world. See what the Lord speaks to you.
One sec real quick. If you had pain in your body or a problem when you walked into church, I literally think during communion, somebody or some somebodies got healed. So if you had pain in your knees or anything, whatever it is, do me a favor, just stand up and move around and test it out. And if you got healed, let us know, because we want to know what God did. But check it out. I honestly think somebody got healed just now in communion. Also want to remind you, before you get distracted with too many conversations or where we're going to eat, go to the back table and sign yourself up for one of the classes. We want to learn to hear God's word. It's how we get intimacy. It's a way to know Jesus, and we also want to know the I am in me. Right? Those are the two classes. So go sign yourself up for one. And check your body. If you got healed, come and let me know. Love you all.